This is Scott Patton and Jan Jansen of www.podcastvoicetraining.com. That's right, folks. We have found a URL that's easy to say, easy to spell, and easy to go to. So we really invite you to pop on over, take a look at all of the podcasts we've done in the past. Leave some comments. Let us know what you think. Leave some questions. Let us know what you'd like us to cover in future podcasts. We just want you to know, too, that we really appreciate you taking this time with us on an ongoing basis. We hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy doing it. So, hi, Jan. How are you doing today?
Absolutely wonderful.
Great. So one of the questions that I get a lot is, how do you deal with the audience and audience participation? How much participation should you have? You know, how much control do you need to have over the group? And so I think that would be a great topic for today's podcast. What do you think?
Well, I absolutely think so too, Scott. So, you know, and I think that in looking at my public speaking career, probably one of the biggest issues is the day that I was trained to give up control.
Oh, yes.
It's a big day in my life because I had been very much trained as a speaker for decades that when I was on stage, I was in control.
Right.
And it was my show, so to speak. So to be literally shown a whole other way of doing my public speaking workshops was really quite eye-opening.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's a big one because it is. One of the issues that comes up massively for most people is the control issue. Because as soon as you open it up to the audience, of course, you have no idea.
Yeah, what are they going to say? What are they going to ask?
They could do anything, right?
Right.
And so it's kind of like letting the kids out of the playpen. It's like bedlam can happen.
Well, and we've all seen speakers who have lost control of their audience, right? I'm just thinking of people that say, you know, okay, everybody stretch, and then, you know, it's 25 minutes later, you can't get anybody to quiet down so they can continue.
That's right. So I wanted to cover a couple of issues so that people can avoid that and just see where the pitfalls are, because obviously you are opening up a whole new can of worms.
Right.
However, the benefits are huge if you are willing to go there. So I want to talk about that. And if you are aware of those pitfalls, then there's lots of ways that you are able to circumvent those.
Right. Okay? Sure. Okay, great. Well, let's start.
Okay. So, for example, one of the things that if I'm going to ask people to do something and I need to give directions, just by simply saying, in a moment, in a moment, I'm going to have you, for example, move the chairs, or in a moment, I'm going to have you move into groups, or in a moment, we're going to take a break.
That's great. Okay.
Three words. In a moment.
Like, not right now.
That's right. Because as soon as people hear, oh, we're going to take a break, or we're going to stretch, or we're going to do this, or we're going to get into groups, you have lost them.
Yeah.
But if you start off by simply saying, in a moment, it sets the whole tone for...
It also brings up anticipation.
Absolutely.
Oh, and they're getting ready to go, but I can't go yet.
And they start to listen. So that's an easy one that you can do, and it will keep you in control. The other thing is that you want to let people know what you're going to have them do, and also how long they have to do it.
Right.
Because the other issue that letting go of your control and opening things up to the audience is that all of a sudden you have timing issues to deal with. So if you have an hour or 3 hours or 15 minutes to do something, you still need to keep within that time.
Yep,
if
absolutely.
You open it up to the audience and all of a sudden you've got people doing things that were supposed to take 5 minutes in your little outline and are now taking a half an hour, you completely throw off your timing.
And I've noticed a lot of people in a lot of the seminars that I've been to, the speaker will say, okay, this part of this is networking or something, so I want you to, you know, take, I know they don't say a time, but I want you to introduce yourself to five people.
Right.
Well, okay, so one person's a 25-minute conversation, the next one's a 30-minute conversation. I mean, the day is gone if he doesn't. And, they struggle then to keep control. Yes.
Right, right. And so, depending on the size of group, I mean, if you've got 1,000 people that you're obviously going to let loose to do something like that, then you need to say, you know, we're going to take, in a moment, we're going to take 10 minutes. And because you have to realize that when you have a larger group, you need to leave some room for movement, just to stand up and just to start to move. So in a moment, we're going to take about 10 minutes, and I want you to do this, this, and this. When you hear me speak, or when you hear the music start, or when you hear the gong go, that means you need to come back to your seats because we're going to start. I also find that adults in this arena aren't much different than kids. Sometimes they need to know the consequences of not doing it, right?
Right.
So just to let you know, I've got a lot more information to cover. We have got to be finished by a certain time. So if you can't get back to your seats in time, if we can't fix it, I'm going to have to cut some material out. I don't think you want me to do that.
Yeah,
do you?
I don't want to lose that knowledge.
That's right. Right. So there's a pain. There's a consequence to their lack of cooperation, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to register.
Oh, okay. Good.
So then the other thing, Scott, is let's say you do open it up to audience participation. And somebody stands up and they ask you, of course, the biggest fear, they ask you a question and you don't know the answer.
Yeah, what do you say?
That's right.
That's the big one.
And especially if you have not been trained to think on your feet really quickly. Okay, that's a skill.
Yeah, and experience.
So if you need a couple of moments to sort of get your brain together and figure out the answer, one of the ways that I've seen it done, and I've used it, so I've got some space to think,
right.
I'll say, let's put it out to the audience first and see what kind of feedback they've got. So does anyone have an answer for Scott's question?
Yeah.
And inevitably, you know,
everybody's got an answer.
Everybody's got something to say. What I have found is that can trigger something for me.
Yeah.
Or B, it just gives me time to decide how I want to handle it and gives me a little bit of breathing space.
Yeah. I've actually been in that experience where I go, that's a great question. Now, of course, I know the answer. This is what I'm telling, you know, sort of intimidating to everybody. But, you know, what do you think? You know, and there's a couple hands go up. What do you think? Yeah, you those are all great answers. And by then, I've got my own little twist, or I don't actually need to answer the question because, are you happy with those answers? Yeah, I am. Great. And
there you go. It's a perfect one. Yeah. But, of course, if nobody's ever said that it's okay to do that, it's a big one the first time you realize that you're going to get stuck. And if it's what's holding you back from actually letting the audience have their say. And the thing is, Scott, that today with people being so used to being entertained, it's a big thing for them to sit there and just listen to a speaker for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, a half an hour. The other night I had a speaker that, you know, went on for almost an hour and a half and didn't really give us a break.
Oh.
That's a lot of time to not, you know, be moving at all.
Well, yeah, I used to teach real estate agents, and we'd have 16 of them in a class, and you just know they can't sit for 3 hours. They're real estate agents. They're used to jumping up around and showing you,
In and out of cars,
showing you homes and different rooms. I mean, there's no part of a real estate agent's life where they sit. And we recognized that, right? So we made sure that in the whole process of the training, because it was more of a classroom training, that they had a chance to get together and say something and talk. Because they're all vivacious, talking salespeople. They're not librarians who, you know, sit and look at books all day, right? And so you really have to look at your audience and make sure that what you're doing fits in with their beingness.
Absolutely.
Right?
And really honor that, because otherwise you're going to lose their attention.
Yeah.
So
they were freaked out. I mean, they were actually scared at the computer. I was teaching them how to turn on their computer and use their computer, and they were all just so fearful.
Right.
So we really had to help, you know, just to say, it's okay to be afraid. We're just going to do these nice, easy steps, and you'll be all right. Really?
You're not going to blow up.
We're not going to blow up. And if you break, actually, when I was afraid of computers in the early mid-1980s, a friend of mine who was a programmer said, Scott, we know, and I was working for a grocery store, he says, we know you guys in the grocery stores will break everything. So we've actually written these programs so that you can't break it. And if you do something and it causes everything to crash, it's our fault. It's not your fault, because we know what you're like out there. And I don't know if he just said that for my benefit or what, but it was just like, really?
Right.
And now I can relax, because I really believe, particularly for adult learners, if you're not relaxed, you won't learn, right?
And the other thing is if you're having fun.
Yes.
Okay, and that's really the whole thing about audience participation, Scott, is people need to participate. They want to be part of the learning experience.
Yep.
They want to have fun. It is way more fun to be involved than it is to be sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, that's the old school.
Like, absolutely,
who wants
right?
you back in elementary school?
So it could even be something as simple as just saying, turn to your partner and give them a high five. This is a really energetic type of crowd.
Right.
You may not get businessmen in suits at a banking association, you know, high-fiving each other, but hey, I've seen people who never thought they'd be doing it, okay?
Yeah.
It could be just as simple as, let's stand up and stretch. It could be, you know, turn to a partner and tell them what you just learned out of the last 10 minutes that I've been speaking.
Right.
What's the one thing that you're going to implement? It could be getting them into groups. It could be getting them into an activity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you can have people doing it, it could be then you open it up for questions, or you open it up for participation, or you have an exercise.
That's right. I know when I was doing a lot of speaking, some of the concepts I was trying to get across were very, very difficult to even explain verbally, right? And what I discovered was, is if I got a quarter to a third of the room to stand up and make a lot of noise, just noise, right, try to get attention, and I had three or four other people around the room, I could use it to actually demonstrate the point that I was trying to make.
Uh-huh.
And so I ended up having, you know, a person at that far end and this far end and this group way over here. I need volunteers, whatever, and everyone was willing to volunteer. And then they went through this little short 30-second process of yelling and screaming and making noise, and then these individuals just, you know, sending directions around the room. And it was like, now that which way do you prefer?
Right.
The noisy place or the focus place? And everybody was just like, oh, now I understand
yes.
what this is all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tried for about two or three talks before that to explain it to them. Right? And you could just see people scratching their heads, they weren't getting it. And I thought, I got to figure out a new way of doing it. And the only way I know to do it is through
a live demonstration.
A live demonstration. I mean, even pictures on my PowerPoint weren't doing, you know,
right.
there was nothing that was getting this idea, because it was just like, how do radio waves work? Nobody knows. They just know you turn on the radio, right? So you can't explain it.
So that's really where the audience participation has such a huge benefit in anybody's talk. And I think that even people who are used to what I'm going to call a real stodgy old way of speaking, they really need to be looking at how to bring this into the 21st century, because people are used to being entertained. So I call it, and you've probably heard it, the edutainment.
Yes.
They need to be edutained.
Yeah.
You have to be able to combine that education with entertainment. If you don't do that, then you're going to lose a lot of people. So to be a really effective public speaker, audience participation is critical. However, the thing is that you have to be able to have control.
Yeah.
And you need to be aware of your time. You need to get over your fear of what's going to happen if you do.
Yeah.
So just by using a few of the simple things that we talked about today, Scott, it really does allow you to open it up, have way more fun.
Absolutely. These people were all, I mean, I was doing it at 8 o'clock at night after they'd been 8 in the morning there, right? They were all tired, and by having them do everything that I had them do, they were just buzzed. It
totally raises the energy level in the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as soon as you feel it start to drop, that's when you know you need to get people moving.
Yeah.
So if it's incorporated into your talk, into your presentation, right from the get-go, then it makes it really easy. And get comfortable with it.
Yeah.
It is the new way of speaking.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. So I also wanted to mention, Scott, that I do public speaking coaching.
Yes. That's right.
Right? So I do business coaching. I also do public speaking coaching. So if anyone does want more information on that, it's at www.janjansen.com.
That's right. You're an awesome speaking coach, Jan.
Okay.
Highly recommended. And that's why you're on the podcast
there you
here,
go.
Right?
So just to let you know, it's spelled JANJANZ or ZEN.com.
Right. So we really recommend that you head over there, take a look at all the great stuff Jan's got, and we're at podcastvoicetraining.com. Appreciate you having spent this time with us. Hope you got a lot out of it. And do we know what we're talking about next time?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, we actually, all right. So this, I love this when I'm watching like TV shows and they say, next week's episode, scenes from.
We're going to talk about stories.
Stories.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay,
powerful,
that.
Powerful way to get your message across.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know of a more powerful way to get your message across than through stories.
If they're done right.
If they're done. Oh, yeah. And that's what our secret will be next week.
There you go.
How to do do it right.
Good. So I'm excited we've got a whole new podcast, a whole new domain for podcastvoicetraining.com.
That's right. Forward to our podcast. Hopefully you'll subscribe to it on iTunes or the Yahoo podcast directory, and then you'll be able to get them automatically, which is a cool thing about podcasting. They come up and you don't have to do anything, and you've got the podcast to listen to.
There you go. Well, thank you, Scott.
Great. All right, till next time, this is Scott Patton and Jan Jansen saying get out there and make a speech. Bye.
Bye.